Hi, Brian, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm spectacular, Sagath. How are you? Nice to see you
Good,
again.
good. Yeah, I'd like to introduce Brian Ardinger, who's out in Nebraska. He's part of Econic, which is really a kind of a top-notch innovation consulting firm out in the Midwest. I know they're all over the country. They have some really great events. I was lucky enough to attend one this summer. So, Brian, great to see you again. It's been a couple of months.
Nice to see you. Thanks for having us on the show.
Good. And let me also introduce myself. Hopefully they can cut it. This is Sugath Warnakulasuriya. I'm an innovation strategist, ex-McKinsey. I have a little boutique called Thalamus Labs, and I help large corporations act like startups. So that's basically what I do.
Very
And
good.
I'm calling from beautiful suburbs of Madison, New Jersey. And so good to see everybody. All right.
Nice to see you.
Good, good. Hey, Brian, let's talk a bit about ideation competitions, right? And so forth. Tell me a little bit about kind of what you've seen out there in terms of what clients and perhaps others are doing, what might be working, what might not be working. I'd love to know.
Yeah, so I think idea competitions are one of those first things that a lot of corporations, when they're dipping their toe into thinking about innovation, they kind of start with. It's like, hey, we heard so and so did a pitch competition, or let's try a hackathon or something along those lines, because it's fairly low-hanging fruit as far as the ability to execute on those particular initiatives, and it gives you an opportunity to kind of expose people culturally to innovation. And maybe you get some good benefits out of it. So we've seen a lot of folks trying these early on. Now, what we typically see is that there are good ways to do it, bad ways to do it, and there's a lot of different varieties out there that we're seeing. Everything from strictly internal competitions, where it's like an internal startup weekend type of concept, to hackathons, et cetera, to very public investment pitch competitions, where corporations are going outside looking for startups to help either validate ideas or work on ideas or partner with corporations.
No, excellent. I want to drill down on one thing that I'm really curious about. So let's say that you're a company, you probably want to, catalyze your innovation, kind of restart your engine in terms of what you do internally, let's say. I've seen a lot of people say, let's do an internal innovation competition where we'll have a bunch of people submit ideas and maybe have groups kind of get together and submit them. Maybe we'll pick a few, maybe develop some things. Kind of tell us a little bit about a couple of those variations that you've seen, because I'm really fascinated by kind of the range of things that we're seeing. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I think it's a lot of them that we're seeing, corporations typically come to us and say, oh, we have plenty of ideas. Our employees have all the ideas in the world. We just don't have enough time to execute on them. And some of that is true. What we see is corporations are trying to tap into innovation, and usually the first place they tap is their existing business model and existing employees that are working in that existing business model. So a lot of the early stage idea competitions that typically come out are kind of internally focused. What are some either internal problems we can solve, or what are some of the things we're hearing from our customer base that need to be solved? But they're much more kind of known problems. They're not necessarily, if you look at McKinsey's model of Horizon 1, 2, and 3, optimization versus transformation, they tend to be more at the, let's work on the existing business model and business problems, rather than let's design the next Uber to disrupt our existing industry.
And let me ask you, so I'm really fascinated by kind of the expectations. I feel like a lot of these companies are expecting good ideas to come out of it. And I'm wondering if that's unreasonable, and perhaps the real value of it is that all of a sudden you're signaling your employees that you're willing to try different things to, do different things, be flat, open, collaborative, where all of a sudden a whole set of employees or a large base of employees have a voice, right? In actively thinking, yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with, again, what are your goals going into this particular thing? I've seen too many competitions kind of pop up because it's like, hey, so and so, this is what I've heard I'm supposed to do. So my competitor did this, so I'm going to throw a hackathon out there and see what happens. But they go in there with necessarily wrong expectations. So a lot of times they go in thinking, well, we can just work on this problem for 48 hours and we're going to have the next Airbnb that pops out of nowhere in that 48 hours. And if you're going in with that type of expectation, like to find a transformational idea that's going to change your company, the chances of that happening are pretty darn slim. But if you're going at it from the standpoint of, okay, this is an opportunity to engage our workforce, solicit ideas that we may have blind spots to, you know, especially if you enlist a large swath of the organization. So you're asking folks that you typically don't ask for input, specifically the ones that, you know, on the front lines, they can give you some different insights that you may not be thinking about, you know, directly from the, like just coming from your sales force or stuff like that. So I think you have to understand why you're doing these particular tactics. Again, is are you doing it for cultural reasons? Are you doing it for transformational reasons? Are you doing it for, quite frankly, like positioning in the marketplace? We've seen corporations that run these public hackathons to attract talent and to identify people both internally and externally. That could be potentially entrepreneurs in residence or you know, the more innovative folks within their own company. And so again, understanding why you're doing these particular tactics, I think, is probably the first step. And then secondly, again, tailoring it in such a way that you actually follow through. Because if you think about, you know, the life cycle of innovation, you've got, first of all, you have to have ideas. You have to have this idea generation funnel. Then you have to kind of filter that funnel of ideas so that you have a, you know, a thesis of what you're going to do with it. And so that you can prioritize which particular ideas you should work on. And then you have to have some type of execution engine for what happens when those ideas come through. Some of the other pitfalls we've seen are corporations that have the idea challenge. They get a lot of the stuff that comes in the funnel. They don't necessarily have a filter to know how to prioritize those ideas. And then it goes by the wayside, and all those employees, all the participants are like disenchanted because there's no execution on the other side. So that's one of the big pitfalls that we see.
No, it's a big risk, because if you're a company going into this, you got to follow through, because otherwise you could do more damage than not doing it at all. Right?
Without a doubt.
Exactly. No, it's interesting. Okay. Also, I want to kind of go in a level further down. So let's say that we're doing an ideation competition. I know there's a lot of tools and techniques out there. We do from like an Adobe Kickbox that's kind of out there for everybody to use, or using some of the business model canvas or whatnot. I mean, what do you see as kind of the initial must-have set of tools and methodologies and techniques that you want to bring in to do something like this?
Yeah, so we're seeing these particular competitions as a way to expose employees to some of these new techniques, whether it's Lean Startup or Sprint, Google Design Sprint, some of the tools like Business Model Canvas, Customer Discovery and Validation. So one of the great things about having these idea competitions is not only do you generate ideas that you possibly didn't have to work on before, but you also have an opportunity to expose your employees and teach them some of these new techniques that, you know, quite frankly, a lot of the startups are using and have done so to move their products and services faster than what you typically see in a bigger organization. So I think the things that I've seen that have worked really well are, again, having a clear goal of what you want to accomplish at it. Is this going to be used for training? Is it going to be used to, again, just exposure? And what do you have after the competition? I think that's so important. It's like you can't just run one of these things and hope that you do one a year and that all your innovation is going to be taken care of. It's really having a strategic plan around, okay, we're going to deploy this tactic, but this is only one tactic on the whole innovation engine that we're building.
Yeah, so you have to do a portfolio of things, it sounds like, right? And I like to say, you know, build these training and kind of toolkit modules.
Yes.
And then embed them everywhere, right? And
yep.
The whole kind, yeah, makes sense. Let me also say,
some of the things that we've seen, for example, like the kind of the internal innovation boot camps, startup weekend type of model, where employees come to a room and each person gets to pitch, you know, 30 seconds, 60 second, a problem that they've seen or that what they want to work on. Then people come together. Form teams around the best ideas that people want to have a chance to work on. And then you take 24 or 48 hours to kind of execute. And that could be a variety of execution levels, depending on how well known the problem is. Sometimes it's spent, you know, again, doing customer discovery and really getting out and getting out of the building and talking to customers about it. Sometimes it's, you know, prototyping and building as much as you can in that time frame, and then pitching back, you know, the final solution. I think one of the benefits of that particular approach is a lot of times, again, existing businesses don't go through that process very fast and aren't typically used to that, where if you kind of expose them to, I can really get a lot done in 24 or 48 hours if I use different methodologies, and knowing that I don't have to be perfect, it kind of instills a lot of the cultural things as far as failing fast and quick iterations and that is so important to actually execute on innovation later on down the road.
Yeah. Now, as a part of this exercise, I like to say that, teams and companies can focus on three dimensions of new ideas, right? One I like to call the desirability, which is really the customer, deep customer discovery part. There's the feasibility, which is generally, kind of what engineers ask around, can I build this, right? Can it be built? The third one is, of course, how do you make money off of it, which I call viable. Where in these innovation competitions early stage, where do you think is the most value in terms of focus?
Where's the most value? I mean, I think any of the customer discovery kind of things, I think where most ideas fall down generally is on the desirability side of the equation. If you think about it, we've taken people to the moon and back. So from a feasibility perspective, if you have enough time, money, resources, technology, you probably can do pretty much anything you want. I think the other missing piece sometimes is that viability is, should I be the one doing this or should my team be the one taking it to the next level? And I think that's where competitions also sometimes fall down. It's they rely too heavily on the person who came up with the idea to be the one to execute it later on down the line, which may or may not be the best person to execute that.
I have a hypothesis that even if a lot of ideas you don't go forward with, but teaching those skills around getting into the customer's hand and really deeply understanding and answering those desirability questions benefits you, even outside the context of innovation, right? It just makes your company really, truly customer focused. I mean, have you seen that kind of as an outcome?
Yeah, so let me give you an example of a competition that was a little bit different than just an internal idea competition. So it was run by the local Chamber of Commerce. They paired up with a local corporation. And they said, okay, local corporation, tell us some big industry trend or some of the industry problems that you're trying to solve. And then we'll have a open competition that will expose to the entrepreneurship community here in our backyard to see if anybody raises their hand and wants to take a stab at a solution. So they called it the Jumpstart Challenge. And it basically was a reverse pitch type of competition. So the corporation would get up on stage and talk about the industry and the industry problems that they're facing. And then it would be an open plea to the marketplace to say, would anybody, any teams want to take on trying to tackle this particular problem? The prize being not only some cash rewards and the opportunity for in a couple of weeks to kind of iterate and build some stuff, but the real reward was the opportunity to then partner with that corporation as kind of the first beta client. So what that did is, one, it gave entrepreneurs in that community an opportunity to say, hey, this is a real problem. Somebody's saying that this is a problem within their industry, and it's not just one corporation. It's an industry-wide problem. So if I can solve this and have a real-life beta customer that I can work with to iterate and build this particular solution, I probably have a better chance of making it a real competition or a real company down the line. So we've actually run this competition probably 3 or 4 years, and we've actually had companies that have come out of it. Weren't companies to begin with. They were literally individual entrepreneurs or a couple of teams that said, hey, we want to take on this challenge. They then won the particular challenge. And because we had an integrated ecosystem, they were able to leverage that win and that first beta client to get early stage funding and get into a local accelerator and kind of move the ball forward from that perspective. So it was a collaborative effort between the community, the entrepreneurs, and then having something that you could actually work and build iteratively on in the marketplace that made it very successful for those companies.
Excellent. No, makes sense. Good. Let me ask you kind of just to wrap this up a little bit. What are your, like, let's say that I'm starting to think about an idea competition. What are the top three pieces of advice you can give me around what to do, what not to do?
Yeah. Yep. So one, again, understand why you're doing it, or at least have a thesis of like, this is what we want to accomplish out of it. Secondly, know that this is only the first of probably many steps and many tactics that you'll have to deploy if you really want to get cultural change or ideas pushed through your organization, and it's only the first step in that. I think some of the other things, looking at who you engage, there are different reasonings behind it. Sometimes we've seen these competitions are, just done in the IT department or just done in marketing or something. We've seen a lot of benefit by having cross-functional teams and having the ability to have different points of views and diversity around it to make that happen. So look at that, like who's going to be engaged in the process. I think the other thing is really having the wherewithal to follow through. So I've seen too many competitions where the employees get rallied up and they do a great job and they get to the end of the line and then nothing happens. The ideas go into a languishing hole. They don't have an engine or a means to actually prioritize or move those ideas that have some traction forward. And that can do a lot of damage really quickly within the organization if you're not conscious about it.
Good. Thank you so much. And I think that kind of wraps up that first piece that we wanted to do.